One of the themes that I really enjoy teaching about is freedom, in particular the difference between authentic freedom and what the world teaches us is freedom, which is basically license. Many, if not most people, think that freedom means we're unrestricted in our ability to make choices for ourselves, whether good or the bad. So basically freedom means I get to do whatever I want. And a lot of young people especially think that freedom is, or that this is what freedom means. And so when parents tell them no, it means that there's this big imposition on their freedom. But authentic freedom is not simply the ability to do whatever we want. Rather, true and authentic freedom is the ability to choose what is good and what is right. So from the Christian perspective, our level of actual freedom in our life right now is always seen in reference to the full freedom that God made us for. And so when we choose the good, when we choose to do what's right, we actually grow in freedom and enhance our freedom, deepen it. Whereas when we choose to do what's wrong, we decrease our freedom. We actually give ourselves over to a type of slavery. Especially when we continuously choose the same wrong, we become slaves to that, not living up to what God has made us to be. And so it all comes back again to that basic question in the Baltimore Catechism that I bring up from time to time. Why did God make me? God made me to know and love and serve him in this life and to be happy with him forever in the next. So when we consider that, we realize that almost all of the decisions that we make day after day, big or small, have some impact on our eternal well-being. You say, well, Father, does it make any difference if I have peanut butter or jelly, or peanut butter and jelly versus, you know, pickles and ham sandwich for lunch? No, that decision probably isn't going to have that much impact on your eternal well-being. But I still maintain that most of our decisions each day do. Maybe it's the decisions about what we're thinking about someone or about ourselves. The decisions we make regarding what words we speak to other people. The decisions we make about what we do or don't do day after day. Most of these decisions, these choices, have some bearing on whether or not we will fulfill the purpose God made us for. To know him and love him in this life, to be happy with him forever in the next. So my question then is, why is it that we think so seldom about eternal life? If all of our decisions, or most of our decisions, day in and day out, are supposed to be, you know, bringing us step by step closer to the goal that God created us for, then why do we think so infrequently about the goal? There's probably a lot of reasons. I'm going to propose three. And the first is that we have a strange notion about heaven. We think of heaven in a way that it really is not. The second is that we get too bogged down by thinking about what's going on around us. And the third is that we think it's kind of an impractical use of time to spend our days or spend any time thinking about heaven. So what is our notion of heaven? Well, cartoons or movies or whatever make us think that heaven is this place where angels are playing harps and singing all the time. And it's basically this place where nothing really happens. And so we kind of have this notion of heaven that can be rather unappealing. I don't want to play the harp for all eternity. I don't even play it now. And most people don't. And we don't become angels. We don't get, you know, spirited away out of this body and live as these disembodied creatures for the rest of eternity, or rest of our lives. No. John says in the book of Revelation, he sees a new heaven and a new earth. The old heaven and the old earth, the former heaven and the former earth, have passed away. Well, so heavenly life is not this merely spiritual reality. There's a new earth. God doesn't look at creation one day and say, this is good, which he said in the beginning, and then at the end of time say, no, actually it's bad. I'm going to destroy creation now and live only in this spirit world. I don't know what the new creation, the new earth, is going to look like, but we know that there's an element of physicality to it. We don't become angels. We're always human. And in the end, when Jesus returns, our bodies and our souls will be reunited. We profess that in our faith. We believe in the resurrection of the body, right? So, I would suggest that if we changed our notion of heaven, we might think about it more. If we realize that eternal life in heaven is about love and the fulfillment of the human desire for love, we might realize that that's what we really want in life. We were all made to love and to be loved. As Jesus says in the gospel, people will know that we're his disciples by the way that we love, because this is what we're made for. And we have some marvelous experiences of love in this life, but the love that we experience in heaven is infinitely beyond even those profound experiences of love here. So if we look at our life and say, what do I desire? I desire love, to love and to be loved. In heaven is the only place where that desire is really going to be fulfilled. So put the harp away and start focusing on love, loving and being loved. The second reason I said was that we get too bogged down with the things that are going on in life. The troubles, the illness, the strife, pain, grief, uncertainty, all these different things tend to fill our field of vision, and then that's all we can focus on. I've said before, people have told me, I don't know how to meditate. You say, have you ever worried before? Then you know how to meditate. You focus on one thing. It's just in worrying, we focus on the wrong thing. But we're too busy thinking about what we're going to do today, what we're going to eat, what we're going to do tomorrow, and all these kinds of things. We forget to think about what we were made for, eternal life. And in the Acts of the Apostles, in the first reading, the apostles are out there preaching. And they say, it is necessary for us to undergo many hardships to enter the kingdom of God. So if we can have the grace to look at what's going on in our life, especially the difficulties and struggles, and see them not as all there is, but actually as a means that God wants to use to bring us to eternal life, then we're starting to take on a better perspective. Finally, one of the reasons we don't think about heaven that much is that we think it's kind of impractical. Why sit around thinking about what's going to happen, presumably for most of us, years down the road? But it comes back to what I said in the very beginning. If all of our decisions, or most of our decisions about what we think and say and do today have an impact on whether we enter into eternal life, then it's very practical for us to think about heaven, to meditate on that life, that eternal life for which we long. When we allow the prospect of eternal life to be our guiding light, then our thoughts and words and actions are more and more conformed to what Jesus wants them to be, thoughts and words and actions of love. So I would make just two practical suggestions then for how we can come to a place where we reflect more on eternal life. The first is, if you don't already, to make a morning offering. There are memorizable morning offerings, or you can just make your own, where at the beginning of the day, when you get out of bed, the first thing you do is pray to God and say, Lord God, thank you for this day. And now I offer to you all of my prayers, all the works, my sufferings, my joys, my accomplishments of this day. I offer all of that to you. And then you're not necessarily going to be thinking about that all through the rest of the day, but at least at the very beginning, you've told the Lord God that you're giving this whole day to him. And the second recommendation is, at the end of the day, to make an examination, not just looking at what sins may have been committed through the course of the day or where there have been weaknesses or failings, but looking at the course of the day and saying, where has God been with me throughout the course of my waking hours? Where have I encountered the Lord? Where have I seen him at work in my life and in the life of other people? And that helps us again to bring our focus to where it should be. If we have the grace to meditate on eternal life on a regular basis, it comes to be not just this idea, heaven, oh yeah, that's something I believe in. It comes to be something that is a desire of our heart. And the more it's a desire of our heart, the more we grow in freedom to choose what is good and right and holy.